was that kind of an emotional thing for you to go through last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were all pretty nervous to see the movie, especially since lots of people who we know have seen it and have been saying different things about it, and so it was always going to be exciting and nerve-wracking to see it. And I don't really have any concrete conclusions to...
Yeah, is this the end of it for you, or do you come back at all, or do you know, or what?
I think I'm done. I mean, Susan's in the Horse and His Boy, but she's an adult then, and they already have an adult Susan, so I presume that my services will not be required. But I mean, it was bittersweet ending this movie when we were shooting. Will and I knew that we weren't coming back, and we were both very sad about that, and sad that we won't be involved in making the Voyage of the Dawn trailer. But at the same time, I feel very ready to move on from it. It's been a big chunk of my life thus far, and I'm excited to do new things and try out different things. I don't think I would want to play the same role seven times.
In the final scene where he says you're not coming back, he says you two have learned all you have, all you can in Narnia. What did both of you learn in Narnia?
Oh, well, I mean, we learned a huge amount, and I don't think there's any kind of one secret thing that we learned. You learn something new every day on a film set, which has thousands of people working on
character-wise. What did your character
learn? I think Susan learned that it's okay to have experiences like that and then go back to the real world. I think in the first film, where the kids have the challenge of becoming kings and queens, between these two stories, they've had the challenge of going back to being kids in the real world. And I think part of Susan's issue with being in Narnia this time around is not actually believing in Narnia, but accepting that at any minute they could be called back. And by the end, I think she comes to terms with that.
The first movie was very much a character-driven film, and this latest film is very action-oriented, and you probably more than any other character were able to benefit from getting involved in that action. Now, talk about that experience a little bit.
I mean, I love being part of the action. I was the only one on the battlefield in a skirt, and I was definitely keen to make sure that I could keep up with the guys. And so, you know, we had a great star coordinator who taught us lots of things. It was nice not to be doing this all the time, but to get to use my bow more creatively and do that. And there's been a lot of comments about why is Susan the Gentle involved in the fight. And to be honest, it was only logical. You know, if you've got the skills, then you use them. If she was there and she could use this bow and arrow, then why would she not be helping out?
Are you an archer in mind?
Do I walk around London with the...
No!
Are you into archery?
No. I mean, it's something that I learned.
She just plays one on.
I learned for the film, and I think archery on screen is quite different from archery in real life, because I have these neat little imaginary CGI arrows, which tend to hit what they're meant to hit, which is very convenient.
Peter, would you speak a little bit about the relationship between Trunk and Lucy, and the aspect of not duplicating the Tumnus aspect of that? Did that enter in your mind at all in that process? Or just talk about that?
Not really. They're big shoes to fill. Sort of James McAvoy, a friend of mine, worked together, and I just couldn't. Yeah, I think it's a very different relationship. I mean, James was amazing as Thomas in that first film, and I think Trumpkin is a much different character. So, and the way Trumpkin and Lucy form a friendship is under much different circumstances. I just like that she sort of breaks down my cynical veneer and sort of like the W.C. Fields. Love to hate kids, but hate to love them, and, you know, like, it's sort of that element to it, and, I like having sort of developed throughout the movie.
Was that an ordeal, having to go through all of the makeup? Did it take a long time?
It does take quite a while. It's about 3 hours every morning. Some really early mornings on that set. But Howard Berger and Tammy Lane did all of my makeup. All the main characters were assigned individual makeup artists, and she was mine. And they just make it so much easier they're just wonderful people. They're so good at what they do, and they're so great to be around. I'm lucky to call them my friends now. I spend a lot of time with them.
Sure.
So we would just get there early in the morning, play some nice music, and sometimes I would fall asleep in the chair, and sometimes we would have the topic of the day, and it was great. But it's strange. I'd never really done that much like that before. It's wild. The first couple times you see yourself under that is pretty interesting.
Peter, this is kind of a different project for you. I mean, at least, you know, following your career, it's just famous as film. Seems a little bit different than the kind of thing you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you get involved, and what
do
you
do? I think because it's something I don't normally do, I'd like to not repeat myself, and I think, I mean, I just sort of, it came at the right time. And I met Andrew Adamson. He sort of sealed the deal for me. I hadn't read the script, because I think they're very sort of lock and key about scripts with movies like this. But I met Andrew about three, four months before we started shooting. Met him in L.A., sat down with him, had lunch with him. He showed me a lot of the storyboard animation that they were working on, and he won me over. He's such a smart, creative person and kind that, you know, he's the majority of the reason why I signed on to it.
Anna, you said you were looking forward to doing different things. Are you talking about acting, or are you talking about other things too?
Everything, really. I mean, we finished shooting in August, September, and in October I started university. So I'm there for a good part of the year at the moment, but I'm also reading scripts and things and working out what I want to do.
Did I read that you're at the same university that Lewis attended?
No, I'm at Magdalen College in Oxford, and Fiddler's taught there for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
And then went and taught at Cambridge. But yeah, it's really beautiful, and they have fantastic facilities and really dynamic people, so it's lovely.
And what are you studying?
I'm studying English literature.
Okay.
Anna's smart.
Do you have any thoughts?
She reads those books without pictures.
Do you have any
freezing? It's so cold in here.
Yeah.
Are you all cold, or is it cold?
Yeah, well, it was hot earlier, so I guess they
Do you have any thoughts on the whole Susan in book 7 choosing not to come back to Narnia, and the whole what's wrong with Susan?
Apparently some people have written like the problem of Susan or the
mm-hmm.
kind of
it's
like
a big issue.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, a lot of people think it's very, very sad. I think it's very, very realistic, really, because if she doesn't come back to Narnia for the next 10, 15 years, then she's bound to kind of fill her life with new things.
Mm-hmm.
And leave that bit behind. I think the line is that she becomes too interested in nylons and lipsticks, which people take in different ways. I don't think that Susan goes off to join the Playboy Mansion, but I think she just kind of gets more interested in other things in her life. And
that would be a different movie.
That would be a different movie. Yeah.
I think I'm going to make that.
Somehow. I don't think Disney are going to help you.
HBO.
Not going to go.
Late night, straight to video.
Anna, what did you, as far as, I assume you read Prince Caspian before, and with the screenplay involving a little romance and stuff with Prince Caspian, what do you tell us about that element in this?
Well, I think when you're making a movie, which is also a book, you need to be aware that you're making a movie and not making a book. Obviously, we were concerned for fans of Narnia that we stay true to the spirit of what C.S. Lewis has written, but we did want to make some moderations. It was something that I talked about with Andrew, because I was a little skeptical about it when I first read the script. But I think that I was kind of anxious to see how it panned out last night, because even when we were shooting, we weren't sure whether this look would cut well or this. And it is done very subtly. There isn't a love scene in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, you know, you don't see Susan and Caspian going off into the woods the whole time and having little chats. That's not how it works. It's all kind of implied, and it is quite subtle and quite sweet, I think.
You guys meet a lot of
new characters in the movie, which was your favorite?
Trumpkin.
Does that answer your question?
Ask me the same question.
Yeah, which was your favorite?
Where's Ben?
Peter, could you talk about your character's relationship with Aslan, kind of his journey of how he starts basically agnostic, moving into belief?
Yeah, well, I think in a movie like this, you need the healthy cynic, sort of grounds it in something a bit. And, you know, it's funny that the character that is a Narnian, surrounded by talking badgers and whatnot, is sort of a disbeliever in, like, things sort of spiritual or magical. What? Talking badgers? Like, cup of coffee? But I also think that provides the film with a lot of, hopefully, I did my job right, humor. In the end when he finally appears and I see him from my own eyes, I think that's humorous and stuff. So I don't know, I just think that when a movie like this, you do need that sort of strange sort of, cynical viewpoint. Because I'm sure there's a lot of cynical, at least in New York, a lot of cynical people watching the movie, so somebody to relate to. Being a New Yorker myself.
Was there any talk about which dwarf you would play? The Nick Rick, the bad guy, or Ricky Trumpkin?
Typecasting,
Well, I was going to play Susan. But that was later after the shoot. months after we back home.
Or was the conversation always about Trumpkin from the start?
It was about Trumpkin. When I first heard that they were interested, there was a moment when I, before I talked to Andrew, because I read the book, and then there was a moment of which one do they want me for, and then I met Andrew in L.A. Immediately had me in mind for Trumpkin, which I liked. I'm glad for that. Because I think Warwick did a great job with Nick Brick, and I get to spend more time with you guys. I think Andrew had in his head exactly which character he wanted for.
Okay.
So there wasn't, to answer your question, not there.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation amongst us about how much funnier this movie was than the first one, a lot more levity to it. The first movie was good. This made it a lot more enjoyable to watch. You carried through it. A lot of that was riding on your shoulders. Did you feel any pressure?
I think Ricci, too.
The two of you, But I would actually say you were more effective as a humor element.
Mm-hmm. That's good. As an actor, I kind of always try to veer in that direction. I've been doing comedy a lot lately.
Definitely.
Oh, thanks.
Probably one of the
funniest
movies I've ever
seen.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Hilarious.
It was fun making it.
Yeah.
What's the question?
I was thinking, sort of, this is really Lord of the Rings for kids, and there wasn't really any character that brought a lot of humor to Lord of the Rings. In a way, this is sort of riding on your shoulders.
Yeah.
I guess the Rinpoche character, but I just wonder if you were aware
of that.
We were
working Rinpoche for the tennis ball.
Right.
Funny to the tennis
ball.
Funny
to
the tennis ball.
Are you really aware of, a big part of what I need to contribute here is, some funny throwaway lines?
Well, not to toot any comedy horn, because there are people out there much funnier than I am, but my sort of sense of humor in films besides the Marx Brothers, is sort of playing it straight. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, if you kind of wanna, which I do in life, but try not to do in film, it's not as funny. So you just sort of play it straight. Hopefully the words you're saying and the environment you're in will do the job for you. So I just like playing it straight with comedy. Will you be back? Albert Brooks as Trumpkin.
Will you be back for the third film to play him as an elderly
shouting
for
Contra.
The next one, yes, they just announced it. Mark Johnson sort of officially announced it to Comic-Con. So I guess I can now say yes, I am in the next one. I don't know to what capacity yet, because nobody has a script yet. I think they're still working on the script.
I think
they're what?
You're
going to
be the lead in this one, though, right?
Yeah, no, it's going to be called Voyage of the Trumpkin. Good shit, lollipop and the Trumpkin. Yeah, and I think they're changing. I think they're maybe sort of tweaking some things from the book or something. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Just how it's been. We have actors. We know nothing. We're the last two now.
Unless you actually get on the
show
and stay lost.
Yeah, I don't know what some of the year ahead is going to be like. So I'll get back to you at the next press conference when we're talking about that movie.
Did you draw any inspiration or ideas from watching Lord of the Rings and what Chalmers Davies did with the Gimli character? Or did you just say, I'm creating my own character here? This is going to be a different.
I think everything sort of that you performs as you watch seeps into your subconscious or conscious. And I know that. I wasn't thinking about that. You know, I tried to make things my own. But I love those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why not? It's great. No, these movies are amazing.
In the books, but your character is normally a little bit more sensitive towards her maybe killing someone with her bow and arrow. But in the movie, you seem to be like a really strong young woman with a sense of purpose. Which character do you personally identify with more? Are you more of a sensitive type, or are you like
a bloodthirsty killer?
Female legend. The water.
Yeah.
Don't piss her off.
I'm not a very confrontational person, but I don't know. I mean, I'll say what needs to be said, but no, I don't walk around kicking guys off horses.
Wow.
Oh,
alone.
Uninterested.
I think I'm not one. I'm bad at that stuff.
I'm reluctant to sum it up in one sentence because, even last night I was kind of trying to track all the different plots that come into this. I think it's a time of transition.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe very much sets up this ideal world, even though it does have the White Witch in it. It's very much about everything being new, and this time everything is different. And
yeah.
The transition at the end, Peter handing on.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah, please.
the idea that Peter is handing things on to Cassian and that's all changing, that they're leaving. So for me, that's the sort of general big theme that I have pinned on this one.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.